Hello, everyone, and welcome to Minute 14 of Movie Rob Minute, the daily podcast where we take a wild trip to the 1987 John Hughes comedy Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today is Sean German of the Next Scene podcast. Welcome back to the show, Sean.
Oh, thank you for having me. And, well, that flight was just delayed one more time, so I think I have just enough time to stick around for one more minute.
All right. Hopefully the pilot will still want to, you know, take a little bit more of a nap and maybe give you another minute to come back tomorrow. Also, we'll have to wait and see.
All right. We'll see. We'll see.
Have to wait and see how that works out. So minute 14 begins with Del trying to find a way to comfort Neil and ends with Neil trying to book a hotel. Mm-hmm. So as we were discussing yesterday, Neil was on the phone after they landed in Wichita with his wife. Little bit of a, you could say it's an agitated conversation, but not really.
Yeah.
The original conversation was an agitated conversation, but they found a way to tone it down a little bit and make it seem like just a normal, everyday type of conversation between a husband and wife who miss each other, I guess. So we ended yesterday's episode with Del basically pissing Neil off because he starts asking him if he's having trouble on the home front. And Del's response is, Neil basically says to Del, that's none of your business. And Del's response is, you know, the finest line a man will walk is between success at work and success at home. I've got a motto, like your work, love your wife. So Neil looks at him a little bit suspiciously when he says something like that. But Del is still very cheery. He's doing his best. You know, he doesn't know Neil at all. Yes, they did sit on the plane for, I don't know, 3 hours next to each other, or however long their flight turned out to be. I mean, the flight from New York to Chicago is supposed to be an hour and 45 minutes. So if we were to say that we're adding, we're doubling that. So let's say it's a 3 hour flight, 3.5 hour flight, something like that, depending, I guess, on tailwinds and stuff like that. So basically, I mean, they've spent some time together, but they're still complete strangers. And Del is still in his cheery mode, trying to make sure that Neil is okay, which, you know, you can give him a lot of credit for acting this way, even though it's not the normal way that people would act. So Neil then responds to him, well, I'll try to remember that. And then he changes the subject very quickly and says, what's the flight situation? So then Del has a great response, another Delism. He goes, simple. There's no way on earth we're going to get out of here tonight. We have more luck playing pickup sticks with our butt cheeks than we will getting a flight out of here before daybreak.
Yeah, another one of Del's saying that involves anatomy, and that's another one that I've not heard of outside of this film. Which, I mean, it's one of those, it's a great saying because you instantly know, you know what he's saying. It's like, well, yeah, you're not going to have much luck trying to pick up sticks with your butt cheeks, and so he's obviously saying there's very little or no chance that they're going to catch a flight. But that's an odd saying, an odd turn of phrase.
Yeah, exactly. Do you know the origin of the game pickup sticks?
I do not.
Okay, so it's originally
going to tell me though.
Yeah, I'm going to. It's originally a Chinese game, and it came to the West in 1850 in Germany. And basically, the sticks have been made of so many different things. You can play with ivory, bone, wood, bamboo, straw, reed, rush, yarrow, or plastic sticks. There are various forms of the game. Basically, you have a group of sticks that you drop in a pile, and you need to remove one stick at a time without moving any other sticks. That's basically so. I never knew this. The name of the common game of pickup sticks is called Mikado. Hmm. Never heard that name before. So it's pretty interesting. Yeah. And sometimes you have games that have different colored sticks that are worth different number of points and things like that. So, yeah, it's an interesting phrase. It's very descriptive. There's no question about that. If you know what pickup sticks is, it's a very, very descriptive explanation. So yeah. he does a nice job, of doing that. Now, he also says that we'll never get out of here before daybreak. So on the 25th of November, 1987, sunrise in Wichita was at 6:51. That's, I guess, a normal hour in November for one to. They're probably not having flights go out at that hour anyway. Mm-hmm. But Neil, for some reason, still seems confident in the airline because he basically says, well, I guess we'll find out soon enough. So Dell's response is, yeah, but by the time the airline cancels this flight, which they will sooner or later, you'd have more of a chance to find a three-legged ballerina than you would to find a hotel room. So again, a very interesting phrase, not one that anyone would particularly use. Now, I didn't do any research on three-legged ballerinas. I tried finding what that means, but I couldn't find it. So I decided just to, you know, I didn't spend too much time trying to get into that. So the airport in Wichita was known at the time as the Mid-Central Airport. Mm-hmm. In 2014, they actually changed the name to the Dwight D. Eisenhower Airport because Dwight Eisenhower was the only president born in Kansas. So they named the airport in Wichita after him. So I also did a little bit of a search to see how many hotels they have in the vicinity. Because if Dell is saying that you're going to have trouble finding a hotel, so how far away are they? What do you think? Any guess?
No, I don't guess. I don't know.
Right. So I did a quick search and I was able to find 20 hotels or motels that are within striking distance of the airport. And that's today. You know, 35 years ago, that number would probably be a bit different. So Neil says, you're saying I could be stuck in Wichita? And Dell's response is, I'm saying you are stuck in Wichita.
You are stuck in Wichita.
Yeah. You're not getting out of here so easily.
Right. We continue to get this contrast, and I guess it's, I don't know how often Neil travels being in marketing. I mean, certainly he's traveling for business in this case, but they kind of continue to just the contrast between just the road dog, the experienced traveler that Dell is versus Neil, who just seems to have no idea what to do or what's going on, unless you kind of deliver it on a silver platter, like, oh, here's the flight or here's the hotel. He's not working the system. He's not working the phones. He doesn't really know what to do. Whereas, fortunately, hey, it's a good thing that, that Neil's hooked up with Dell. He doesn't feel fortunate at this point,
yeah,
certainly,
no, but, it's going to take a few days.
Dell knows the ways of the road. He knows how these things work.
No question about that. And then the shot changes, and we see a man standing with a microphone, and that man is Ben Stein.
The great Ben Stein. Well, yeah. It's Ben Stein. We'll just say
that. It's Ben Stein, exactly. He has 50 TV credits, 23 movie credits. He's in two John Hughes movies, this one and the one that he's probably the most famous for, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, right, where he says, Bueller. You know, he was a speechwriter for both Presidents Nixon and Ford. He was classmates in high school with Goldie Hawn, Sylvester Stallone, and Carl Bernstein. So that's pretty interesting. He was a newspaper columnist. He's written 16 books. 7 of them are novels and 9 of them are nonfictions. And he was also a screenwriter for both movies and TV. So he plays the ticket agent, and he basically says, ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please? I'm sorry to announce that we're canceling flight 909 due to severe weather in Chicago.
And I thought that was interesting because we saw that was the flight number when we saw the board in O'Hare where all the flights came up as delayed.
Mm-hmm.
We saw that flight 909 from LaGuardia to O'Hare. Now, if that's the flight that Neil and Dell were on, so maybe the original tension was they get on that same plane to continue on to Chicago, but would it have a different flight number?
Not necessarily. If it's a continuation of the same flight, basically, if 909 lands in Wichita and then everyone gets up from Wichita and goes on the same plane with the same pilots back to Chicago, so it still is the same flight. It's not a new flight. So that makes sense. That makes sense. Now, did you notice behind him, we have the sign that you know says the flight number and the departure, and then it says destination. Do you see what it says there?
Nowhere.
That's right. That's great.
Yeah, and that's one of those things I only picked up having after having seen the film many, many times.
Yeah, for sure.
That,
right.
Yeah, and under departs, delayed, and destination, nowhere.
Exactly. And then we get a shot of people sitting and waiting for the plane. We see a mother and two children sitting next to her. And then we see an empty seat. And next to that empty seat is what you were talking about there yesterday. We get Dell's hat, Dell's jacket, Dell's briefcase, and his sports bag. Obviously, the trunk must still be on the plane. So,
sure. Yeah. Makes sense.
Now, what I love about Ben Stein's performance here is when he says it's been canceled, he gives like a huge smile. He's basically saying, I'm about to go home.
Yeah. Just to be cruel, because it's, you know, it's if you know Ben Stein, and particularly from Ferris Bueller's Day Off, he's got very monotone, very unemotional delivery, which is probably why, you know, most of his speech and acting work is, you know, to be known for that. And so it's very flat, unemotional that he's, you know, ruining all these people's evening and then just gives that grin at the end. And like you said, yeah, I mean, he's not stuck at the airport. He's just going to go home. It's the end of the day for him.
Exactly. So basically, I wanted to check how long of a flight it is from JFK to Eisenhower. So what I was able to find is that if you were to fly directly, it's a 3-hour and 4-minute flight because it's 1,283 miles between the two. Now, in 2022, there are no direct flights between these two cities. You have to go either via Atlanta or Chicago, Dallas, Charlotte, Washington.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So based on the fact that it's a time zone difference. So the time zone, it's an hour difference. So if the plane, let's say the plane took off at 8 and then they have a 3-hour flight. So that's 11. And then, so that would mean that they would get to Wichita at 10 o'clock local time. So Neil's wife theoretically is already asleep at 10 o'clock, or let's even say it's an hour later. So it's, you know, they get there at 11 o'clock Wichita time, Chicago time. So she's sleeping at that point or whatever. I wonder if the airline at that point would still want to send out a flight at 11 o'clock at night back to O'Hare, because it's going to be another hour and a half flight.
Right.
You know, you'd think at this point they would just delay it, but then they would actually have to pay for everybody to stay in a hotel. So maybe they don't want to do that. They don't want. You know, to have to go through Sean's story from the other day again.
Yeah. Well, and then there's the whole thing of when it comes to pilots, like they can only work a certain number of hours.
Right.
And that includes waiting time and delays and everything. So, you know, at this point, if this was even if it was just the beginning of the day for the pilots, you know, they were, I guess, you know, like a night shift thing where they were just starting with the flight from New York. You know, they've been, you know, the pilots and the flight crew and everything else, they've been along with all these delays and everything else. Are they going to, you know, do they still have hours to do that flight from Wichita to Chicago?
Right.
Exactly. So yeah. So even aside from the weather, there's questions over whether this flight was going to happen that night.
Yeah, well, maybe they would switch the flight crew or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
Right. So I actually wanted to look up to see what happens. I can only find the information as of 2022. What happens if your flight is canceled? Right. So basically what I found was if your flight gets canceled by the airline, you're entitled to receive either a full ticket refund or a new flight. If the flight is canceled after you've already arrived at the airport, you're also entitled to care. Care includes 2 free phone calls, fax machines, or emails, as well as refreshments in a reasonable relation to the waiting time and hotel accommodation when the cancellation necessitates an overnight stay. Mm-hmm. Okay. In addition to getting ticket refund and care, there are certain circumstances under which an air passenger may also be entitled to compensation for a canceled flight. So one is if they notify you 14 days before, which obviously is not the case here. And the other one is if the airline could have avoided the cancellation had they undertaken all reasonable measures, which again is not connected here. And then in some cases, if it's not possible for an airline to notify passengers about a cancellation well enough in advance and the flight is canceled on short notice, when this happens, you have to look at why the flight was actually canceled in order to make a compensation claim, the airline has to be responsible for the cause of cancellation. So flights canceled due to technical problems fall into that category, because aircraft maintenance is inherent to an airline's daily operations. But if you're talking about things that are not the fault of the airline, for instance, weather,
a snowstorm, yeah.
Exactly. So the airlines then can show that they took reasonable measures to prevent the cancellation from occurring, but it was beyond their control. So, yeah. Now, here's something that I found very interesting. Because of COVID, which we're all dealing with now, so ever since the Delta and Omicron variant have come about, there were more than 18,000 canceled flights during the holiday season between December 24th, 2021 and January 3rd. Which is, it's amazing. They canceled 18,000 flights in that period of just a week. And we're talking just, you know, not that long ago. So I found that to be pretty interesting. So basically the two of them at this point, you know, we see Del stuff on the next to the chair. You also see a whole bunch of newspapers strewn on the ground, which in JFK or LaGuardia, wherever they were before, we saw that also around Del. So Del has... It seems that Del likes to read the newspaper and just throw it on the floor after he's finished reading it. You never know. Yeah. And then we get to see Neil on the phone trying to get himself a hotel. And he says, "Hi, I was wondering if you had any rooms available for tonight." And he goes, anything will do. And then we hear the voice of someone on the other end saying, "No, I'm sorry." And he says, "All right." And he hangs up the phone. So that's pretty much the way that this minute ends. We basically are able to see the way that Neil and Del deal with these type of situations very differently. Now, the thing I found interesting is you see Neil on the phone and you see Del standing in the back of the line looking around. Like, why is he looking? I mean, anyone who's seen the movie knows what happens, you know. So why is it? He's like waiting for Neil. So I thought that was pretty interesting to look at.
Yeah, so is Del kind of a guardian angel figure at this point? Because we see, I mean, up until this point, it's just been kind of coincidence, happenstance that they had the incidents with the cab in Manhattan, and then they happened to end up sitting next to each other in the plane. Like, it's just kind of coincidence. But like you said here, as we're gonna learn soon, Del has a hotel, so he's not in line for the phone here. He's made arrangements already. He does seem to be, I mean, kind of the only real explanation is he's specifically waiting here for Neil, kind of with the expectation that Neil's not going to be able to get a room, and then Del's going to be there to save the day.
Completely. All right. You have anything else for this minute?
I think that's about it. I think we've covered minute 14.
Right. Okay, so now we'll talk about the script. There are a few minor discrepancies. There aren't that many at this point. Basically, Del's response to Neil, when Neil says to him, "I don't think that's any of your concern," so Del's response is, "Probably not, but I thought you might want to air some feelings." And Neil responds, "I don't." And then a little bit later on, Neil mentions that there are other airlines, because when Del mentions the fact that their flight is going to get canceled, he says, "Well, why don't we just try on another airline?" And Del then explains to him that once one airline cancels, the chances are that most of them are going to. He has a nice little, he goes, "One goes belly up, the others are sure to follow. I may not know the price of eggs in Sweden, but I know the U.S. air transport system. When you waylay to Wichita and not to Chicago, you're up the creek. I'd venture to say old man Winter's busting records in Chicago right now." And once again, after that, Neil says, "I know Wichita, I know airlines, I know the hotel scene. They don't start diverting flights here, and you don't book a room. You're looking at a couple nights on a dirty floor." So basically, once again, Del is showing how much he knows about travel. As you mentioned, I think it was earlier today, or maybe it was yesterday, the fact that you can see the contrast between the two of them. The two of them look at this type of situation in very, very different ways.
Yeah. Now, I've seen these. I've been in airports, and I've seen where they have these banks of phones that it looks like it's, you know, like a, I guess a direct connection to hotels. Have you ever tried to use these phones? Have you ever
booked accommodations this way? I'm familiar with them, but I've never done that. No.
Yeah.
Because I usually don't get somewhere where I'm looking for a place to go. I already know where I'm going.
Right. Yeah. If I'm either for business or vacation for pleasure, would have made these arrangements ahead of time where I'm staying and where I'm going and all that. This seems like the only time this kind of phone would get a big workout is if a flight's delayed, you're suddenly in a city that you weren't planning on and you've got to make last minute accommodations. And then you're kind of in the position that Neil is in, where if you're not one of the first to get there, the whole flight was delayed, so you've got a whole plane full of people that are all looking for hotel rooms at the same time. Yeah. And if you're not towards the front of that line,
you're in for a very cold night on the floor.
Yep, you're in for a cold night on the floor, as Dell might say.
Exactly. All right, so every day we have our little segment off the beaten track, where either myself or my guest tell a little story about some adventure or misadventure that may have happened to them along the way. So, John, why don't you tell us another one of your stories?
Sure. I could tell you about a misadventure that found me in a position similar to Neil, where I was having trouble finding a hotel room. And unfortunately, I did not have Adele with me to help me out. But so I was in college. I went to college in Texas, in Arlington, Texas. And I was in a distance relationship at the time. I had a girlfriend that was going to school in New Jersey, and she had flown down for spring break. And I'm like, well, let's go to Austin. Let's go to Austin, Texas, where I'd never been before. I'm not much of a planner sometimes. So I'm like, you know what? It's a couple hours drive. We'll jump in the car. We'll go down to Austin. We'll grab a hotel room. We'll hang out. And I'm thinking, there's not going to be much going on. I mean, I know, there's like the University of Texas in Austin. Like, that's a big school. But again, it was spring break. I figure school's out. There's not going to be a lot going on. We come into town, and it's crazy. I mean, we're kind of in the downtown area where all the bars and restaurants are, and just – hey, there's lines, there's people, joints jumping. I'm like, oh, wow, this city's really happening. So we go out, we have our evening, and then it's okay. Well, now it's time. We need to find a hotel room. Well, there was a few things I didn't know about Austin and that particular week and that weekend. One thing I didn't know is that it was it was mid-March that one of the early rounds of the NCAA basketball tournament was being hosted at the University of Texas in Austin during that time. I also didn't know there was another NCAA championship going on at the same time. The swimming championships, the national swimming championships, were also happening in Austin that weekend or that week. And everywhere I go, I keep seeing this thing, SXSW, and we're calling around, we're driving around, we're going to hotels. And again, this is I'm old, so this is before there's the internet where we could just look up, you know, we can't just go to Expedia on a smartphone and look up accommodations that way. We're calling around, we're driving around, like, we just cannot find there's no vacancy, we cannot find a hotel room. Eventually, I don't know how we did it. We get lucky. We managed to get like the last room. We ended up with like a suite with a jacuzzi or hot tub in the room, which is not what we wanted. Like, we were planning on like, oh, we're going to spend most of our time out on the town. We're not going to be spending a lot of time in the hotel room. Basically, we just needed a place to sleep. Ended up spending more than I wanted for a room that was more than I wanted, but it was, we probably got the last hotel room, available in Austin. And, you know, go in the room, there's like, there's the magazine, the hotel magazine on stuff to do in town. And there's this SXSW thing. I'm like, what the heck? What is SXSW? And listeners are probably screaming at their you know, their phone or their MP3 player, wherever, you know, wherever you're listening. That's South by Southwest, which is, it's a lot bigger now than it was. I think now it's become like, it's almost become like, you know, San Diego Comic-Con, where it's like a you know, general pop culture festival where, you know, filmmakers come to debut new films. And, but at the time it was mainly music, but it's this huge kind of music indie festival. So yeah, so we had, you had the NCAA basketball tournament, you had the swimming championships, and you had this massive music and pop culture festival all happening that week. And that just happened to be the same week where I decided to show up without any reservations, without any plans.
And you were still able to get a room. That's what's important.
And I was still able to get a room. Now we spent, I don't remember how long. I mean, we spent a considerable amount of time making phone calls and driving around the city trying to find a hotel. Eventually it worked out okay. But yeah, I think that was the point where I'm like, you know what? Maybe I need to make plans. Maybe I need to think things through a little bit more and not just show up. Because, again, I thought it's, you know, I figure, oh, it's spring break. Everyone from UT Austin is just going to go home. I kind of expected it to be pretty, like a pretty dead, low key, you know, a couple of days in the city. And it turned out to be absolutely nuts. But yeah, you know, it took a little more legwork than I expected, but we were able to get a hotel room, and we did have a good time in Austin, and it's a great city. I encourage people to visit if you're into that good thing. Good food, lots of good music, a lot going on, and once again, I have a story that ended up did have a happy ending.
All right, great. So you want to tell people once again how they can get in touch with you?
Once again, you can find me at nextscenepod.com, where I do Next Scene Podcast. We're taking on pop culture one scene at a time. And as Movie Rob mentioned earlier in the week, we do one thing we do every year is we do a holiday special. And a couple of years ago, we did Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
What a surprise.
To celebrate Thanksgiving. Yeah. Now we did it differently. Like we did it one day at a time. The 3 days that Neil and Del are on the road. And then we did a special episode. If you want to dig into that deleted scene with Bill Irwin on the plane, we did a fourth episode on the plane. So I think it's a good compliment. I think we probably maybe covered some things that you won't get to, but we certainly did not go into as much detail. So if you know me from that, and you've been listening to this, you should continue to listen, because I know there's going to be a lot more detail in the minute by minute breakdown. And we also did Home Alone as one of our holiday specials in a different year. So another John Hughes connection there. So, yeah, check that out. Again, it's at nextscenepod.com and at nextscenepod on the social media.
Excellent. And while you're doing that, you can go rate, review, and subscribe on any podcatcher they might be using to listen to this show. And just to find me, you just can find Movie Rob Minute on Facebook, on Twitter, go to our website. And until tomorrow, you're
fine. You're fine.